know why somebody would love James. I guess for the rosy glow. I guess for that little floaty type disposition that sort of seems removed. Oh my gosh. I see Orthodox Jewish people in this city of Sao Paulo. I see them. I saw them when I was in Miami too. And there's just a floaty type of detached disposition of an Israelite that carries itself above everybody else. It's as though they think they're better than you. I recently saw a Seinfeld episode too, when David Putty, it's Putty, you're going to hell. And he'd become a Christian in this episode of Seinfeld. And Elaine found Christian radio stations, presets, when she was borrowing his car, and she was worried. Are you becoming a Christian? Yeah, maybe I am. What about it? Putty's so funny. And she says, well, don't you care about me? Now you're going to hell. So it's this you're going to hell thing. And it's this, you know how David Putty talks, if you're a fan of Seinfeld. Hey, well, you're going to hell anyway. It's that air of superiority. And this is why people of our day even gravitate to the letters to the seven ecclesias, and they gravitate toward James. Now, we're going to look at some of the warnings and some of the things that Jesus has against these seven synagogues, these seven ecclesias. And again, this is going to, I think, solidify for you that these synagogues are Jewish. And that Israel apostasy is always the same, because this is an overview. What John is doing here, what Jesus Christ is doing through John, is telling us that Israel apostasy is always the same. Nothing changes, because throughout these seven letters, this is an overview, they are being reminded of the failure of their forefathers. The sins and failures of these seven ecclesias, which will exist in the time of the end, which we are in, they will soon exist. They will be the same sins and failures of their forefathers. Oh, wow, that's a real coincidence, Martin. No, it's not a coincidence, because it's that same self-righteous arrogance that runs through the blood. It's not the literal blood. I speak figuratively of any religious person who has not yet come to the truth of the death of self and the crucifixion of the old humanity. Because that's a way sophisticated truth. Israel's not coming into it. And they're not being introduced to it. They're just told to shape up. Now, in Paul, we're not told to shape up. We're not. We're not told to reform ourselves, reconstruct ourselves, redo ourselves, remake ourselves, or be reborn. We are told that the new creation has come, and you just give up on the old, and you walk as if resurrected from among the dead. That's the truth in Romans chapter 6, which I will be coming to in my written series on the book of Romans, which, if you're not listening to this show and you're unaware of that, go to my website, martinzender.com, go to ZWTF, that's the name of my newsletter, ZWTF. Go to ZWTF Archives and get caught up on the series. I'm on part 48, okay, and I'm on already 48 parts, and I'm only on chapter 5. But let's look at what he says to the ecclesia in Ephesus. Just because you hear Ephesus doesn't mean that this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. There's going to be a synagogue in this town. It just happens to be the same city where there was a group of believers in the body of Christ back in Paul's day. Other than that, there's nothing in common. To the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus. This is chapter 2, verses 1 through, I'm just going to do 1 and 2. Now, I might go on. Let's see. Let's see what my mood dictates here. To the messenger of the ecclesia in Ephesus right now, this he is saying, who is holding the seven stars in his right hand, who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I'm aware of your acts. I'm aware of your acts. It's all about acts in Israel. Keep this in mind. James, works, acts here. I think it's the same word in the Greek. Don't quote me on that. I'm aware of your acts and your toil and your endurance. Acts, toil, endurance, all circumcision. and that you cannot bear evil, and you try those, saying that they are themselves apostles and are not, and you found them false. That's very good. This is, he's commending them for this, but get ready. The hammer's about to come down. And you have endurance, and you bear because of my name, and are not wearied. But I have against you that you desert your first love. And that was always Israel's problem. She deserted her first love. She was espoused to Jehovah in the wilderness. And Jeremiah writes about this. Let me see if I can find this. Jeremiah 2, verse 2. Starting with verse 1. Jeremiah 2, 1, 2. The word of Yahweh came to me saying, go and call in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Yahweh, I remember concerning you the benignity of your youth. You were such a benign bride, the love of your bridal days, when you followed after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Holy was Israel to Yahweh. In other words, those were the good old days. But Israel, as you know, apostatized continuously. She chased foreign gods. Her history is riddled with chasing foreign gods and dallying, having dalliances and illicit relationships with the gods of other nations. And actually, this is still her problem. And I will go so far as to say that it's also the problem in Christianity, because the gods served by Christianity are those who are behind the religion. All right, we talked about that before. So they leave their love. They leave their first love. That's the thing he has against this particular synagogue. Now, what about the Smyrnan letter? Good question. I asked myself the same thing. What is the warning to Smyrna? Well, let's find out. Let's go to... Well, later I'm going to tell you the good, what Christ is going to give these ecclesias if they conquer, if they overcome. And remember, overcomers are one of the main titles of distinction in the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. To he who overcomes will I eat of the tree of life. So these problems that are being pinpointed now in these ecclesias, they have good things and bad things. They must overcome the problems. And if they don't, they're in trouble. If they do, there are certain rewards. And on Friday, we're going to talk about the rewards to be given to those who overcome and who correct their problems. It's a little more than putting an orthotic in your sandal. It's a more serious correction than an orthotic. You have to change your mind and change your ways, and it must be evidence of it. Smyrna, to the messenger of the ecclesia in Smyrna write, now this he is saying, who is the firstborn? Where the hell am I saying? Smyrna, yeah, okay. Smyrna, hang on a second. I just lost my place because I'm not wearing my glasses because I don't think I look good in my glasses, okay? People say, Martin, I know you wear glasses. Why don't I wear your glasses? I don't think I look good in my glasses except my sunglasses. But then when I wear my sunglasses, I can't see what I'm doing. But I'm tempted to wear my sunglasses because whenever I watch myself in my sunglasses, I like myself in my sunglasses. Many of you have said they like you like me in my sunglasses. Others have said, Martin, ditch the sunglasses. Okay, here I am. To the messenger of the ecclesia in Smyrna, write, I'm aware of your acts, affliction, and poverty, but you are rich. So that's good. They're actually physically poor, but he's considering them rich because I'm assuming they're doing righteous acts. And the calumny of those professing themselves to be Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the synagogues pose as rich synagogues, and yet they're, and true synagogues, and righteous synagogues, and yet they're actually of the synagogue of Satan. Be fearing not of what you are about to be suffering. Lo, the slanderer is about to be casting some of you into jail that you may be tried, and you will be having affliction 10 days. They're going to be tried. What does this remind you of? The trials in the wilderness. That's a parallel here. And again, John is drawing, Jesus is drawing through John a parallel to the apostasies of the old days in Israel and the apostasies in the present day of Israel. And they were tried in the wilderness. They're going to be tried again. You know, and people think that today God sends us little tests, so we overcome tests. God is not testing us, but he does test Israel. I tell God all the time, don't test me. Don't play games with me. Don't see if I'm going to fail. You know if I'm going to fail or not. not because you made me the way I am. So what's this test? Are you going to conduct an experiment with me? Let's see what Martin does with this. You know what I'm going to do with this. Now I'm talking about the gospel to the uncircumcision now. And I'm contrasting it with this business of tried. Israel was tried for 40 years in the wilderness. Here they're going to be tried for 10 days. But God is bringing them trial, not so he can find out about them, because he knows what dwells in them, but so they can find out. And they're going to find out, oh boy, we're not really true to you, Lord. And so again, there's this dichotomy between there's Jesus and there's us. And he's pure and we suck. And he's righteous and we're unrighteous, and he's going to try us and test us, and he's going to see what we're going to do. And then we're going to go, oh, we're not quite like him. And all this kind of trial and test. Again, my friend Becky at the hospital would have loved this, because I'll be found true. They gear up. You can just see people gearing up. It's like somebody getting ready to swim the English Channel. They're gearing up. They have their little Speedos on. And they're greasing themselves up with Vaseline or whatever. And they're doing jumping jacks. And they're rubbing their muscles. All getting ready for this vast, epic thing. This is Israel. It's a trial coming up. It's not swimming the English Channel. It's harder. It's maintaining a faithfulness to God, a dedication to the cause of Christ in spite of the great trial coming up. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to save this for tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm going to talk about the religion of Balaam. What'd you learn today? You learned something today. You learned that the thing in common to these letters is that they're being reminded, Israel, the ecclesias, the synagogues, are being reminded of the failures of their forefathers, and they're being taken back in history. We're not taken back in history unless you want to talk about you're crucified with Christ. Now forget it, you're a new creation. They're taken back and reminded of your ancestors were tried in the wilderness, your ancestors professed fidelity to me, and they were strewn about in the wilderness, and so they're being reminded of this. Don't do that again. I don't want you to do that again. This is so primitive compared to what we have. Tomorrow, the religion of Balaam, because Balaam is brought up to the ecclesia in Pergamos. And this guy is a study. He's a real study. And tomorrow, we're going to study him.